coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello, young people, and welcome to this week's Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, publisher of the Clinch County News, Lanier County Advocate, Axis County Citizen, and Eccles County Echo. I'm joined by Blake Pittman, the editor of the Axis County Citizen. We're going to be going over this week's headline and delving behind the headlines at what's going on in our communities. We're going to start off in just a little bit talking about that triple murder in Axis County. We got some new information about that we're going to share. We've got some players, basketball players from our area that made All-State and also All-Region. We'll talk about that. We'll give you updated on baseball, high school baseball, one of the spring sports going on, along with soccer and tennis, and we'll talk about baseball. We'll also talk about some stuff going on in Lanier County with a building authority that they are proposing. It's going up before the state legislature, and we're going to have a whole lot more. We'd like to thank our sponsors. Our newest sponsor is Rascals, and Blake, tell us about Rascals.
Rascals Bar and Grill is located on Highway 41 in Twin Lakes, Georgia, between Lake Park and Valdosta. They're open on Thursday afternoons from 5 p.m. until midnight, and then on Friday and Saturdays from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. They do a trivia night on Thursday night, as well as karaoke on Friday, and they have live bands on Saturday night. Once again, that is Rascals Bar and Grill, located on Highway 41 just outside of Lake Park.
We appreciate Rascals and our other sponsors, Lutz Brown Pigler Manly Insurance in Homerville, along with Roberts Milling in Pearson, the Shack Cafe, and the Country Cabin. And we're going to get back to more of Behind the News after this message from our sponsors.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Roberts Milling Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by The Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They are open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, along with Blake Pittman. And the big story this week in our region was that triple murder in Axon County on the Axon County and Berrien County line. Blake Pittman, you've been all over this from the get-go, reporting it first on Facebook and also in this week's Axon County Citizen. First of all, for those who don't know what went on, let's go through that again, and then we'll update it.
Okay. All right. Basically, last week when we reported it, it was just reported as a missing persons case at the time. So basically what happened last Tuesday morning about 5:30 in the morning, authorities received a call of a burning car between Willacoochee and between Atkinson County and the Berrien County line, somewhere right on the county line. When they responded to the scene, they found the car, of course, on fire, and the occupants of the car were nowhere to be found. Or at that time, they just thought occupant because they didn't know, that there were other people involved. They ran the tags of the vehicle, and it came back registered to a Bobby Lynn Moore. She is an Atkinson County resident. She actually moved to Atkinson County from Coffee County in 2008, was a 2014 graduate of Atkinson County High School. They contacted her parents and found out, that was in fact her car, told them that the car had been found set on fire on the side of the road, and kind of, wanted to know, was she alone or had they heard from her, anything of that nature. They, of course, had not heard from her. Multiple attempts at calling her on her cell phone were unsuccessful. Then they found out that there were two other people in the car with her, a Ronnie Wayne Hackle Jr. and his sister Mercedes Malin Hackle, both of Ware County, were in the car with Bobby Lynn Moore at the time that, or the last time that the car was seen. So that's what we reported. We reported that they, you know, they were looking for the three because of the car. And then later on Wednesday, they actually made an arrest in connection with the disappearances. And then I want to say it was Thursday, they actually found two of the bodies on Wednesday and one of the bodies on Thursday. They sent the bodies to the crime lab for identification, and unfortunately it came back that it was the three people that were missing. Now, since then, you know, there's been more investigation and there's more details that they have released. They're still not releasing everything, you know, because the investigation is still going. So basically, I contacted some local authorities to try to find out what was going on. And the main question I had, Lynn, was how they made the arrest. Jonathan Van, a 20-year-old guy, he, according to his Facebook, is an Atkinson County graduate. They arrested him in connection with the disappearances. And then after they identified the bodies, they actually charged him with two murders in Atkinson County. That's where two of the bodies were found, and one murder charge in Berrien County. They also arrested a Keontae Green, 25-year-old, from an Alapahaw address, who is also a former graduate of Atkinson County. Excuse me. Now, when I ask how they knew to arrest him to start with,
Van, you mean?
Yeah, Van, yeah. Jonathan Van.
Because it was very quick.
It was very quick. I mean, they actually arrested him before they found the bodies. Yeah. The report that was given to us by Atkinson County officials were that the car, that Van actually lived, I mean, within shouting distance of where the car was set on fire. And they said that he hooked some kind of vehicle to the car and drug it down the dirt road and across the pavement and then set it on fire. They said that you could see skid marks across the pavement. And then if you look down the dirt road, you could see ruts in the road where it was actually drug, because the car was locked and in park and there was no keys in it. So it wasn't put in neutral or anything. It was actually drug with all four wheels locked. They said you could trace the skid marks or ruts or whatever you want to call them all the way back to his house. And that's how they arrested him in connection with the disappearances, because apparently the vehicle was at his home and then he drug it to the side of the road and set it on fire. That, of course, led me to another round of questions. Well, if that's how you found him, what led you to the bodies? And when I received this answer, I was just blown away at how simple it was. Apparently, Jonathan Van has been in trouble with the law before, and he was wearing an ankle monitor so they could track him and make sure he was at home. And so basically whatever device they use to track, you know, former convicted felons that are on a monitoring system, they use that, and they checked every GPS coordinate within a 2-day span before and after the disappearances, and it led them right to all three bodies. Now, allegedly, the bodies had been shot, and then they also attempted to burn the bodies after they were killed, I'm assuming. You know, that's all alleged information at this point, because they said there was some visible burn damage to the bodies, but they weren't in the car when it was set on fire, because both doors were locked. The car was totally sealed up. So they said there was visible damage, but they still had to send them to the crime lab and identify them. Now, they are both still in custody at the moment, Jonathan Van and Keontae Green. As of now, Keontae Green has only been charged with helping conceal a body or the death of another. And Jonathan Van has been charged with 2 counts of murder in Atkinson County and 1 count in Berrien County. And, you know, again, like I said, all this information, you know, that Van allegedly shot them before he tried to set the bodies on fire. There's a lot of information that is being withheld, like I said, because authorities are still trying to piece together exactly what happened leading up to him dragging the car off, whether or not they were killed before he burned the car, after he burned the car. You know, there's just a whole lot of variables still at play here, you know, with them trying to, like I said, piece together exactly what happened and what led up to these three people being murdered and their bodies drug off in the middle of nowhere and dumped. Now, the bodies were found within a couple miles of where the car was. And, you know, they're still trying to figure out if Van was the lone shooter, if you will, or if Green was involved, or if there were other people involved. And like I said, it's just a big, it's like a big ball of yarn they're trying to untangle now. The GBI is very heavily involved in this, as well as Atkinson County law enforcement, Berrien County law enforcement. I know some Clinch County law enforcement were involved with helping them locate the bodies once they, you know, declared them missing. And, you know, it's just a bad situation, Lynn. The whole town of Pearson, all of Atkinson County is just, I mean, they're numb now, because anytime something like this happens, you know, it just pretty well shocks everybody, because they're dealing with the death of this person from Pearson, as well as trying to piece together why somebody would do something like this. Like I said, the investigation is still ongoing. As soon as we have more information about the how and the why and more concrete stuff, you know, we will definitely report that on our Facebook page and then the front page of the newspaper.
And they're still investigating the motive.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
they have led to that. And there's a lot of speculation about that, but we won't, you know, get into that until law enforcement actually has some concrete evidence.
That's right.
But think of how, I mean, this may be the only triple murder in the history of Atkinson County.
They had, I know at the beginning of this year, they had a double homicide in the city of Pearson.
Yeah.
And it was two elderly gentlemen who were shot inside of their home. But as far as the, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to weigh it out and say one death is worse than the other one, but as far as the magnitude of the extent of trying to conceal the bodies, you know, in that case, the bodies were still where they were shot at. In this case, we're dealing with three bodies that were allegedly shot, drug off somewhere else, and then they attempted to set them on fire. I cannot even imagine as a parent what it would be like to deal with that.
It's if it works out the way that it seems to be, where they found a suspect that they think is involved in this, and to do it that quickly is really fortunate, not only for the victims' families, but also for the law enforcement. So it's sad situation, but we'll keep you up to date on it with the Atkinson County Citizen. Moving on to something more cheerful. They had all-state and all-region basketball come out recently, and these are all in this week's newspapers, in the Lanier County Advocate, the Clinch County News, and the Atkinson County Citizen. And players from all four of our counties in our coverage area were recognized, including Gracie Brunell from Lanier County. She was first-team All-State. Tyquan Baker, who played for Lanier County on the boys' team, was named second-team All-State. In terms of the region, Baker was named the co-offensive player. Well, let me go down the list here, and we'll talk about the ones from our counties who were recognized. Co-offensive player of the year was Tyquan Baker from Lanier. Co-defensive player of the year was Keyshawn Lee from Clinch County, the senior. Freshman of the year was E.J. Brown from Lanier County, making first-team all-region basketball for the boys. Hakeem Howell, a pal, out of Atkinson County. Rasheem Robinson out of Lanier County. Jeremiah Johnson out of Clinch County. Jeremiah, in fact, this week committed to play football next year, or 2 years from now. He's a junior at the University of Florida. He and some other Panthers went down there for their junior day over the weekend. Second team, all-region Braylon Kinlaw from Clinch, C.J. Johnson from Lanier, Caleb Colding from Eccles County, Rashad Brockington from Lanier County. And on the girls' side, offensive player of the year, Gracie Brunell from Lanier. Defensive player of the year was Angel McCray, sophomore from Clinch County. First team all-region basketball girls, Morgan Hill from Eccles County, Zai Johnson from Clinch, Tanasia Sermons from Lanier, Shania Locke from Atkinson County. I think we're in the second team now, are we? Sanaya Small from Clinch County, Kiora Johnson from Atkinson County, Jacqueline Kinbeek from Lanier, Taylor Johnson from Eccles, Kiera Johnson from, is that the second time I've said, is there Kiera and a Kiora from Atkinson County? Or are they one and the same?
There is a Kiera Johnson and a Kiora Johnson.
Okay, well, they both made all region. And Jazz Ryan from Lanier County and Shaquilla Newsom from Atkinson County all made all region. So congratulations to those folks. Also, right now we're in the midst of baseball season, and the I think Atkinson and Clinch play
tomorrow.
Clinch beat Charlton earlier in the week, and Clinch is now 12-3 on the season in baseball and 6-1 in region play. So they're basically in first place in the region, along with, I believe, Telfair, who's 7-1 and 10-4. Also this week, Lanier played Atkinson County, beat them 3-1. That was on Tuesday. So you got a lot of parity in the region going down the wire. Clinch has only played Telfair once. I got to play him again, and they both have one loss. Irwin County is 6-2 in the region, but they're 8-7 overall. But you know, in terms of the region, they're still in it. Charlton County 5-2 in the region. Lanier County 4-4 in the region. 5-6 overall. Atkinson County 3-5 in the region. 4-8 overall. Of course, if they could beat Clinch on Friday, that'd be a big win for them. Eccles County is 1-7 in the region. 4-8 overall. Clinch, I think, it was ranked 6th in the latest power rankings, which determine the playoff season seeding. So they got about a month left. I think they end the regular season in April. But it's so far, Clinch looks like they have a chance to be at the top of that region. I'd also like to mention that the Lanier Middle School team is going to be playing for the conference championship tomorrow. They beat Schley County yesterday, I believe, Wednesday. We're recording this on Thursday. They beat Schley County 6-5, sort of an upset because the northern half of that conference is supposed to be really strong, but Lanier County beat them. They'll be playing at Wilcox tomorrow, I think. I'm not sure where that game is, but they'll be playing Wilcox for the championship. So good luck to Lanier County Middle School Baseball as they play for the championship on Friday. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. We're going to take a break. Listen to one of our sponsors right now.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. We're coming at you on Thursday afternoon. It's March 21st. And, Blake, we had, speaking of high school sports, we had another signing, a college scholarship signing over in your neck of the woods, right?
Yeah, that is correct. The Atkinson County Lady Rebels softball team, third baseman Jacqueline McKinnon signed with Bruton Parker College this morning about 11:30. She is actually the third member of that senior class to sign a scholarship. The first time in history that they've had three sign from, you know, one single season. Early in their year, Katie Royals, a pitcher, signed with ABAC, and then a little bit later on, I've drawn a blank now. They had another one sign with South Georgia College out of Douglas. And so, it's a good year for Lady Rebels softball.
Congratulations to those folks. Another story that we had in the Lanier County Advocate I want to mention, it's about the Lakeland City Council approving the creation of a building authority. They are the third governmental entity in Lanier County to approve this building authority. And now the school board, as well as the county commission, both approved this. It goes now to legislation. The state legislature has to approve it. And Blake, I think this is something that you're going to see more and more from different counties doing. They're going to create a building authority, which has to go through the legislature like any other authority. But when it goes through the legislature, it has the power to either levy taxes, or in this case, it can finance building projects. And what this authority, it'd be a 5-member building authority. You know, I guess they call it the Lanier County Building Authority. and the governmental entities will appoint members to it. The way it's set up in Lanier County is that one member will be appointed by the Board of Education, one by the county commissioners, one by the city council, one jointly by the county commission and the city council, and one jointly by the school board and the county commission. And then what this authority can do, they will be able to finance building projects in lieu of using general obligation bonds. In short, the authority will have the ability to secure revenue bonds without approval of voters. So like in the past, and I know they did this in Eccles County, and they've done it before in other counties, where like if they wanted to build a new school, they could do a bond referendum where the voters would approve a whatever, would approve it or not approve it. And then they would be on the hook for that, you know, taxpayers would be on the hook for that bond to pay for that school or that building. In this case, you wouldn't have a referendum. This authority would vote whether or not the taxpayers or, you know, the governmental entities would have this building. I assume this is in the future, if we wanted to build a school or some kind of courthouse or whatever, this would go before it. And the danger, I think, the positive part of this is you don't have to go through the rigmarole of going through, like, say if you want to do something small that wasn't really a big obligation to taxpayers, then you wouldn't have to go through a referendum to get, you know, if you wanted to use bonds to get a senior center built or something like that.
Yeah.
But the drawback, in my opinion, is that you don't get taxpayer approval or voter approval. And if something goes sour, this five members will be making this decision rather than taxpayers. So it's, I don't know, it's just one of those things that it's already been approved. Now it's going before the state legislature, and we'll see how that works out. And like I said, I think this is something Lanier County's going ahead and doing it. I don't know. I've heard that other counties are doing this as well. We'll probably see that come down the pike in Axon County, in Clinch County, Eccles County. So
now,
we'll see.
How do they decide who is on that board? Do they pick a certain number from each municipality to represent the municipality?
I just said the school board will choose one member. Okay. The county commission will choose one member. The city council will choose one
member.
It'll
just and be then at large.
And then they have the county and the school board will jointly choose one person. I guess one, you know, and then the school board and the county commission will jointly choose one.
Now, does this have to be an active sitting member of that board, or can it be from the general public
be somebody that they appoint?
Okay, gotcha. That's what I was trying to get at.
When they do like a recreation board or this or that, that's apparently the way that's going to work. So that's something to look at. Also, Blake, I think you wanted to mention some information that was in Tyler Harper's column in the Axon County Citizen.
That's right. Tyler Harper, you know, when the legislative session is in, he generally sends an update out every week, and we try to run those as we can. This week, there's a pretty good size update on page 5 of our newspaper, and there are 9 total bills that he talks about that they've passed in the session. There are 2 of them that I want to mention specifically because I thought that, you know, they're important to our readers and they may want to know about them. Senate Bill number 2, the first one I want to talk about, what it does is it enables Georgia's 41 electric membership corporations, or EMCs, such as Slash Pine that serves this area, to provide internet services and broadband to their customers directly or indirectly through a broadband affiliate. Basically, what it's opening up another avenue for, especially the EMCs who already service the electricity needs of the rural community, to also provide a broadband service to hopefully get, you know, like we talked about around our first or second podcast, get better, more high speed internet out in these areas of the countryside that don't have, you know, anything worth bragging about at all. So that's a good one. And then there is one more. It is a House Bill 316, basically, which establishes a new statewide election voting system. And it will turn it into an electronic ballot like most places already have, that has a marking device. But then it also prints a paper ballot out for the voters to go over and review so they can make sure of what they've clicked on, and they can make sure of exactly who and what they voted for before they hit the submit button. Hopefully that will, you know, help calm some of the fears of the voters going out, you know, with all the talk going around of certain voter machines being rigged and some of them touching one thing and it voting for another one. So, you know, this is kind of the best of both worlds. They have the electronic system that tallies the votes more efficiently and you know, faster paced, but it also prints out that paper ballot. So, like, you know, your older crowd who are more accustomed to doing things the old way will have the paper ballot they can read off and you know, just double check and make sure that they voted for who they intended to vote for. So get you a copy of the Atkinson County Citizen. Like I said, there were nine total bills in all, and read up on the other seven. There's some really important things that, you know, Tyler's keeping his constituents up to date on.
Also like to mention, we have our latest in the saluting our seniors stories we've been doing in the Clinch County News this week. Laura Nipper has a great story about Herb Wheeler, who's 95 years old and went to the Georgia-Florida football game 77 straight years.
Yeah, that's got to be a record.
And I'm going to send that off to University of Georgia and see if that, you know, if anybody has even come close to that. And I'm trying to get there. I've been every year since 86, so that'd be what?
33?
No.
Yeah, since 86. Well, yeah. If you go to 2019, if you go to this year.
Yeah, if I go this year. So, yeah, I still have 44 years to go.
Good luck with that one. I tell you what, Lynn, we can make it like driving Miss Daisy. And if you get that age and you're close to breaking the record, I will take the bullet and drive you to the Georgia-Florida game.
Well, I appreciate that. But check out that feature story by Laura. It's pretty interesting.
Lynn, before we go, why don't you tell us exactly what Lynn Robbins' column is about this week?
Lynn Robbins' column is about the pickle defense. A true story, and I wrote this because this week, in fact, I think tonight is really when the NCAA basketball tournament starts, Madness. And so in recognition of that, I wrote a column, and it's one I've written before. I just updated it about when I was coaching girls basketball, my daughter's team years ago. I guess the girls were like 7 or 8 years old. And one of the girls, I sent her in to play, and all the girls had their hands up playing defense, except this one girl, she only had one hand up, because the other hand, she had a napkin with a pickle in it, and she was eating a pickle while she's playing defense. And I'm definitely afraid of pickles, and apparently some of the other kids were as well, because they would not get anywhere near her. And so it was a very effective defense. So that's what, you know, some hard-hitting journalism there in my column this week. But, yeah, the NCAA basketball tournament starts tonight. And Blake, I don't know if you do this, but every year I make my family, even my wife who knows nothing about basketball, we have the Robbins family NCAA basketball tournament bracket challenge and grammar jamboree. And make them fill out brackets. And then whoever wins, whoever has the most points at the end of it, gets to choose where we go out to eat, no questions asked, the next three times.
And here's the question I want to know, Lynn. Do you also take their brackets and play them in another tournament somewhere to increase your chances of winning a pool or something?
No, because my kids, they don't understand the way the NCAA tournament works. All they do is pick the favorites. Every one of them, all three of my children had Duke. I mean, you know, they just go top seed, top seed, top seed. And I've got Murray State making it to the Final Four. I've got Tennessee making it to the Final Four. I'm going with
better get the kid off of Angels in the outfield to stand on the sideline and flap his arms.
I got UNC winning it all. That's my pick.
Hey, before we go, I want to mention one thing, Lynn. I forgot to actually mention this to you. In your respective communities, rec baseball is kicking off all around in Clinch, Lanier, and Atco, and Eccles as well. I want to encourage you, if you have time, if you don't have time, make time. Try to get out and support some of these kids in their baseball, t-ball, and girls softball games. Nothing makes them feel better or makes me feel better as a coach to actually have people to come out and watch them. They are the future of the athletics in your county. You may as well get behind them now and support them. So, you know, just call your local, your city, municipality, or your rec department and find out when those games are.
Anything else?
Not that I can think of. I think that's about all for this week.
Well, we appreciate you listening to this week's Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins. Blake Pittman has joined me as usual. We'll be back next week, and we'll be talking about what's going on in our communities in Clinch County, Axon County, Lanier County, and Eccles County. We'd like to thank our sponsors once again, Rascals in Lake Park. And Blake, tell us about Rascals.
It's Rascals Bar and Grill, located on Highway 41 South, just outside of Lake Park, between Lake Park and Valdosta. They're open on Thursday nights from 5 p.m. until midnight, where they offer a trivia night. On Friday nights, they're open from 5 p.m. until 2 a.m., where they have karaoke all night long. And on Saturdays, they're open from 5 p.m. until 2 a.m., where they have a live band, beer bucket specials, wing specials, you name it, they got it. Again, that's Rascals Bar and Grill on Highway 41 South, just outside of Lake Park.
We appreciate Rascals and our other two sponsors, Roberts Milling and Pearson, the Shack Cafe, also in Pearson, and the Country Cabin, and Lutz Brown Pegler Manly Insurance here in Homerville. We appreciate them. If you enjoy this podcast, tell those folks about it and tell them you appreciate them sponsoring it and bringing it to you. Again, for Blake Pittman, this is Lynn Robbins saying we'll see you next week for the Behind the News podcast.